Hey, baby.
Hey.
Naomi and Andy here with a quick Q/request.
Yes. So, okay, Acast is doing these audience surveys, okay? We put the link in the show notes. The link is going to be in the link tree on our Instagram and everything like that. Here's the thing, Naomi. You know, we're already pretty choosy about the ads that we allow on the show. No weapons manufacturers.
Raytheon, get out of here.
Yeah. Screw off, Raytheon. But we want to make sure that the ads are kind of tailored to y'all.
Right.
Okay? Right? Say you want to hear ads for A Different World DVD box sets.
We need to know that.
We need
can
to
go
know
out
that.
To them. We can get the word out. But we only can get the word out if you give us the word. So you got to fill out the survey. It is quick, quick, quick. And it just lets us know if the ads you're hearing are the right ads for you.
Yeah.
So get on over to the show notes where that link is or the Couples Therapy link tree and fill out that quick survey so we can pass the word on to Acast.
All right. Roll it.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Katie Couric.
I'm Bozma St. John.
I'm an award-winning journalist.
And I'm a trailblazing marketing executive.
And we sound kind of full of ourselves, but together we're hosting a brand new podcast
to help us look beyond our pandemic present.
It's called Back to Biz.
With Katie and Boz.
Each week, we'll interview the leaders and big thinkers in industries from tech and education
to fashion and pop culture to find out how they're adjusting to this new way of life.
Listen to Back to Biz with Katie and Boz
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your favorite shows.
Open your hearts, loosen your butts. It's time for Couples Therapy.
Yeah, this podcast is Andy and Naomi's, where they can both laugh and hang with all their homies, talking excellent vacationing with brunches and cuddling, to messy situationships and conscious and coupling, from Netflix hookups to single them with some Hulu, text, sex, regrets, or feeling on your new jubu. They gon' talk about it, yeah, you are invited, needing therapy, I guarantee, baby, we got it.
It's Couples Therapy, Couples Therapy.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Couples Therapy. My name is Andy.
And I am Naomi.
And we are a real-life couple, of comedians. And on Couples Therapy, we take the best sets from our live show, where comics who are close do sets together about their relationship, and bring them to you. But sometimes we have people in the studio, Naomi. This is one of those, and you already heard their dulcet tones.
Oh, yes, you guys. We are talking to and getting some help with listeners' relationship questions from Felicia Day. Yes, baby. Felicia Day is an actor, writer, and producer you've seen on so many things, like Dr. Horrible, Buffy, Supernatural, MST3K on Netflix, and The Guild, which she also created. She also has a new book out now that you can pre-order. It is called Embrace Your Weird, Face Your Fears, and Unleash Creativity. Whoo, baby. We get into it with Felicia. This is a multi-hyphenate queen coming through and dropping knowledge.
Guys, we go from the most serious to the most frivolous in the space of a moment. It is really wonderful. It's wonderful meaningfully. We'll talk in the episode proper about why Felicia is important to our relationship, Naomi. So you'll hear that. But so this was kind of this was special for us. I hope we didn't fawn too much. I hope we didn't make her uncomfortable.
Well, I mean, it was a true emotional roller coaster. Felicia, first of all, it's so funny. It's like I always get like flustered when we run into a guest on the way in because like we have I need time to like get set.
Yeah,
like, set your props, get your space.
Whenever you meet someone, you want to set. You have a set list in your head of what you're going to talk to the person about.
Oh, and you mean me specifically in general,
yes.
Not one something one.
No,
does.
No. I mean you specifically, Naomi Ekperigin, of Los Angeles, California.
Yeah,
born in Harlem Hospital. you specifically, you like having a manicured experience with other human beings. So when reality shifts what you want, what you expected, or what you planned for, it can be a flustering experience for you.
Certainly, most certainly. And then I also feel like when people who are like very busy, who have a lot of stuff going on, where I feel like their time is so finite, it's like, I want to get out a lot of stuff. I want you to get comfortable. I want you to start talking. It's like so many things you kind of want to have happen in like the space of exactly 60 minutes, like in my head. I'm always like, oh God. But you know what? I think we really pulled it together. We had a great time. Now, before we get to this.
And also, well, we'll talk about it in the thing, but there was an incident.
You will hear about it.
You will hear about the incident. But before we get to that, Naomi, we have a new live date coming up here in Los Angeles on October 5th, don't we?
Ooh, yes, we do. And we are putting together a beautiful lineup. So far, we've got
Drew Drogi and Sam Pancake.
I'm so excited for them.
I mean, this is, if it was just them, I would be excited. But also, Jamie Lee, old friend of ours, wonderful stand-up comedian.
Yeah,
she's seen her on HBO's Crashing. And a bunch of other people who are still confirming. So if you want to see that and you live in Los Angeles, it is going to be October 5th, 8 p.m. at the Virgil. And you can get tickets at couplestherapypod.com. While you're on the website, you can also sign up for our Patreon. Two extra episodes a month, just me and Naomi doing some fun stuff, getting deep, talking about our feelings and having fun at home. You can sign up there. And finally, when we have guests come into the studio, we answer advice questions. And the way we get those questions is either you DM us or
you call us. In.
And if you'd like to call in and leave a voicemail and ask us a question, the number is 323-524-7839. You can find that number anywhere online, specifically on our website or in Twitter and the bio. But Naomi, before we get there to the episode, you have some live dates coming up.
Well, oh well. Yes, I do. This very Thursday, September 12th, you can holler at me in New Mexico, where I'll be headlining at the Cloud Top Comedy Festival.
Oh, man. That's going to be really exciting. Maria Bamford's at that, Fortune Feimster, James Adomian.
It's going to be real good. And then the weekend after that, I will be in Toronto, September 19th at JFL 42. And I will, right after that, September 20th to 22nd, I will be in Las Vegas at the Life is Beautiful Festival.
Who are you opening for at both those dates?
Well, 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 I am opening for Queer Eye's Jonathan Van Ness.
How are you going to, Naomi, you've met him once before, right?
I mean, for half a second. The question is, what will I wear? You know, this is huge. This is huge. What if 10 friends is in attendance?
I was going to say, shouldn't the question be, how should you do your hair?
Well, I just wanted to say it looks healthy. So we're going to try our best. Okay, guys. As always, you can hit us up on social at Couples Therapy Pod on Instagram, at Naomi and Andy on Twitter. And you know what? Let's just keep this relationship going strong. And until then, listen to this sweet, sweet app with Miss Felicia Day.
Roll it.
Oh, my, oh, my. What an episode we've got here. Felicia Day, how are you doing?
We're here with two guests. What? Naomi, what? You're really You're really hiding the lead. What's the phrase? You're really burying the lead.
Burying the lead. That's it.
Much like a dog would bury a femur bone. We're here with two guests, the wonderful Felicia Day. Hello, Felicia.
Hi, but I'm really the secondary guest. I'm here to talk about my book, but really it's all about Mabel.
We're here with our new adopted daughter. You have a daughter, right?
I do have a daughter.
We have a daughter. We have three children now, Naomi.
Right. Our house is so full now.
Squee and Premet, of course, our new adopted daughter, Mabel, a Maltese Yorkie, or Morky.
Morky, but I will never use
that.
Why
don't we name her Mindy? Hey, so we have a guest here. Why don't we?
No, we can talk about Mabel because she's pretty cute. She's a little blonde. She's like the blonde. She's like the small blonde teenager in high school. She knows she's pretty. You know what I'm saying? She's sitting here. She might have fleas. She is. There's a lot of.
No, she has had her flea, but she is scratching it. I'm like, literally.
She had
like
her flea medication.
Yes.
You just said she had fleas.
Oh, okay.
From the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Look, okay, I just need to like get right and explain to the listener why I'm coming off a little crazy. Okay, literally. So Mabel, as Felicia said, hot girl in high school, a bit of a diva. Also, apparently, like, she's afraid of other dogs or gets, like, growly with other dogs. And I'm like, I feel like there's a little bit of diva to, like, give me my space, do my thing. And so we walked in to record. We ran into Felicia Day right outside. So yeah, we went on this whole journey with company present.
There were moving people out front who were really smoking a lot of pot, and I was just getting a contact high. I actually been in this studio several times before. I actually launched my company from this exact studio.
What?
Upstairs. It used to be my friend's studio, so it's really funny. And then I ran into Mabel, who could be the love of my life.
I mean,
she's a little cutie squinchy face.
She is a cutie squinchy face. She's already the love of my life. I'm a little addicted. I think she might have dry skin. We're going to get her to the vet because it's like, why are you itching so bad?
Does she do that at home or
Yeah. And so I'm like,
maybe she has doggy eczema.
She could have. She needs a colloidal oatmeal bath.
A colloidal oatmeal bath?
Yeah. You could get it at the drugstore, right? I don't know.
This is a whole new world for me. I'm up in here giving oatmeal baths. And trying to make sure Mabel don't get in fights with every dog she sees.
You were amazing, anyway, though.
We walked into the studio, and immediately all the other dogs that are here ran to attack Mabel.
No, they didn't attack. I will say, to be fair, the other dogs are like, hey, you're in my house. Who are you? What's your name? And Mabel was like, I don't talk. You see what I'm saying? Like, I think they were like, they're friendly, and then Mabel is standoffish.
You're really being very generous in defending these other dogs. Yeah, I don't have a bone to pick here. They seem like jerks.
Yeah, what do you? No, they ran. No, I'm telling you.
They tried to tear your dog to pieces.
Listeners,
and you're like, they were fine.
Naomi, who at home will read everyone and everything, is being so kind. We love these other dogs that are here.
I don't know.
Here at the How Stuff Works studios.
But at least you don't give a fuck.
But they ran to attack Mabel. And Naomi, you lifted her. I started to play my gender. This is, listener, we're trying to put you in the same emotional space we are in right now. I'm sweating. It's like 3,000 degrees outside. The climate wars have begun. And we walk into the studio, and immediately our new adopted daughter, 4 days in, was viciously attacked by a gang.
Shut up.
It's, I don't even know if it was a gender
the
thing,
MS-13
though.
Of dogs.
Oh, boy.
Okay. Literally also, like, literally our engineer's dog, and he did just make a face. Because I am on his side. Because they are excited young dogs, and Mabel is a weary bitch. And just
wow.
like her mother. That's
wow.
our vibe. And I, like, literally lifted her up because it was, like, happening so fast. And so I just, like, lifted her up. And then I was like, oh, God. And then I thought I lifted
you
her
elevated
up.
Her. You elevated her up. Like, you just lifted her by her little harness. And she went.
Yeah, like a video game. Like a platform moving in Mario Brothers.
It was pretty. It was badass.
Thank you so much. But then, of course, my next thought was, did I just hurt her by, like, lifting her like that? And then I was like, okay, we can't take her anywhere. So, like, literally this is all happening. Queen Felicia Day come in, and
Queen.
She's like, hi, are we recording? And she got involved yeah. as a witness to this incident.
I mean, I was traumatized a little bit. As a mother myself, I was proud of you for your level-headed. And you know, you were like, I'm so level-headed, Naomi panics. And I was like, you seem more panicked than she did. You were just like third partner.
Can I be honest? I said that to you because I felt shame because I started playing my gender in a negative way. I like yelled at Naomi. I'm like, get in this room because I'm like trying to get
but
her
I done,
and the
I don't
dog
know if that's
away.
A gender thing. It's just like the person who's not in the trauma point. Like I would have been like that too, like telling people what to
but
do
the
because
fact that
I'm
I was
not
telling her.
All right.
And that's not. I usually don't like command Naomi to do stuff.
I can't see anybody commanding Naomi, quite frankly.
Thank you so
you're
much.
Meeting me for the first time, so there was like a lot of there was just a lot of shame
aww.
Involved, and I didn't know how to erase the shame. I didn't know how to
you're
flush
okay.
the shame.
The
away.
Other dogs are forever dead to me, but you are okay.
Y'all are savage. We are now dog people. We are in a dog community. We have to be open and we have to be forgiving. This
I think
is the choice
they'll
we
get
make.
Used to each other and they'll be best friends soon. You know, it's just like there was not enough. There was too much face to face and not enough butt to face situation
okay.
back then. You know,
is that what needs to happen? And this thing, I don't know. Like, because that's why, like, she was on a leash and we kind of made it slow. And there was a second, like, there was a beat where they kind of looked at each other.
Yeah.
And it seemed fine.
It looked okay.
There was a hot beat where I thought, okay, give him a minute.
And then there was some shrill screaming.
And I was like, oh God, they're the rescue if they find out about this. So that's why I was like a little frazzled. But you know what, Felicia, I appreciate your understanding. You know
cool.
what I mean?
It's all cool, man.
It is. Well, I mean, there's also, look, if we keep going back, my shame.
No, we can't keep going back to your shame.
You've played without knowing it. And I want to ask a question about this, but you played a part in Naomi and my romance. We've been together
what?
For 10 years.
Inadvertently through your work.
Really?
Yes.
Did you watch one of my videos and fuck? Should I say fuck?
Is that fuck? Sure, most certainly.
Yeah, no. The more the sweatiness for me from
the guilt has certainly brought a warmth in my heart that I could then bring into the relationship.
Oh,
Do you know what I mean?
Oh, that's so nice. So, thank you.
Most certainly.
But, I'm very flattered. I try not to do crappy work, but sometimes it bleeds through. Sometimes.
The one that you and I connected on, I feel like the first time, it was Dr. Horrible.
Mm. Oh, yeah. That was a good one.
Well, early on, this is the thing, and this is why I brought it up. I wanted to ask you also.
Yeah.
Early on in our relationship, you know, the things that brought us together were the media things a lot of times, mm-hmm. were like things that we could connect on, sing. I remember us singing the soundtrack together.
Oh,
at some
certainly,
points.
Most certainly.
I mean, the songs are great. Like, name another, like, until Hamilton, there really wasn't a musical that, like, people were just really into, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was, like, fun lyrics and, like, smart.
Yeah.
Not this is slightly embarrassing, but I did not like musicals prior to the Buffy musical.
Most people say that, and they say that Dr. Horrible, like, I hate musicals, but I really like Dr. Horrible because the soundtrack is cool. It's rock. Yeah. It's like, and it's also superheroes, and it's 45 minutes. It's not like, oh my God, I want to leave at intermission. Like, exactly. I'm always am.
But then it got me into musicals because I was not a musical theater person in school. There was no entry point there, and also, like, my parents would just bring me to, like, Andrew Lloyd Webber things.
Which... I mean, those were good, but they were not like 8 year olds.
I'm the Phantom. And I'm trapped in the ceiling.
That's good. That's exactly Phantom of the Opera.
You might want to take, you're going to have to cut that out because it's too faithful to the original. Copyright violations.
Grisabella.
Okay. Stop. Ooh,
Thank you, Felicia.
Can I pitch everyone something? No. It's...
You have to hear when
I just said stop.
She goes, okay, stop.
I won't sing anymore. Andrew Lloyd Webber, someone make a extended Andrew Lloyd Webber musical universe. So it's all of the.
Oh, that would
it's
be
all
cool.
The skating
actually.
People. It's the cats. It's the Phantom.
Yes, the Starlight Express, which I never have seen in person. I would kind of love. I know it's probably terrible, but I like people on roller skates.
Yeah. Les Mis, throw that in there. Yeah. There's a barricade.
Yeah.
Put a Eponine, put her on some skates.
Okay.
Have her make out with a cat.
Okay, guys, this is officially us bonding to create this content. You're hearing it here first, folks.
Is there any media? What are the things that have brought you close to lovers?
Wow. That's interesting. You know, I had one who was really into film and introduced me to things that, like, I would have never, like, Raging Bull and watching all the Godfather movies and stuff like that.
And did you like those, or were you just kind of, like, going with it? You know what I mean?
At first, I was like, but then I got really into it. Mm-hmm. And then...
hey, I got all the De Niro movies you gotta
see. I got a Criterion collection you gotta see.
Yeah, was it, like, the kind of, like, dude who... is trying to turn you into some version of themselves?
You know, I think it's more just like, this is my thing. And some people can be a little pretentious when it comes to filmmaking because they're kind of better than you. It's like the modern day philosopher kind of. But I mean, they weren't a bad person.
You're going to be my date. You have to understand.
You have to
Truffaut.
Know Truffaut. Oh, that's so funny. The way you started saying that, I was like, Truffaut. I know he's going for Truffaut. It was either Fellini or Truffaut.
Group mind.
Wow. Yeah. So, but I think that whoever you are, you kind of you have this sort of thing that represents you, and especially media is kind of that thing for us. So, if somebody really hates video games, it probably will not probably work, or I'll just never see that person, and then we'll have that kind of relationship, which is fine.
Do you find it, you know, because you are a creative person, you know, you've got the acting, you've got the books, you know, you're writing shows and stuff. What is that like? How do you feel like when you're in the process of making something? Do you share it with the people around you? Do you feel like very scared and proprietary of it? I say that because, for instance, you know, Andy and I obviously live together.
Yeah.
Which means by default, he becomes the person who hears like every version of everything.
Yeah, yeah.
But then there are also totally times where I'm like, okay, I don't actually want feedback. I want you to say it's great and to keep going. You know? But I like having
that's
said-
good too. I mean, I think it all depends on the project, right? Like, I think having somebody in the house or in your life that you're just be able to be collaborative with because you know their criticism won't hurt you creatively. I think that's super important. Yeah, won't stab you in the heart and make you just want to, you know, jump over a railing. Like those, I think when you're creative, you know, especially when you're in that stage where you don't really know where you're going, you kind of, sometimes you need just a boost, you're right, to get going. And then sometimes you need someone to give you some feedback that won't gut you, but will help you keep your enthusiasm up. I think in the people that I've not, I think shedding people in your life that are kind of destructive creatively, I mean, I talk about that in my book, actually, like being pretty ruthless about protecting your creativity. You don't have to like cut negative people out of your life completely, although sometimes it's good. But when it comes to your creativity, you kind of have to protect them. And I kind of like, I kind of picture it somehow, like I have a baby now and I'm like, I don't want anything to harm her, right? But why don't we treat ourselves as nicely as we do other people, right? Like protect as protectively. So my inner creator is a 2-year-old. Like, why would I not treat that person very gently in a sense, right?
Wait, so now. Is our inner creator always going to be a 2-year-old?
Well, no, that's a little bratty. No, it's a vulnerable, like it could be little Mabel. Like, would you want somebody to kick little Mabel when she brings you something she loves?
I would bash someone's head in.
Exactly.
I am prepared. I have imagined before someone breaking into our house and threatening our pets. And I have imagined the kind of violence. Yeah.
Violence you're capable of. Yeah, yes. I could literally murder somebody.
Yeah, yeah. The history of violence. Viggo Mortensen. I would be that person.
You would Hulk it out.
Uh-huh.
Totally.
Where is
it.
He right now?
Viggo? Hulk or Viggo?
I think Viggo's resting. You know, after Green Book, he said, why don't I lay low? You know what I mean? Lay low. And I respect it.
Yeah, thank you, Viggo.
Yeah, stay out of our consciousness.
You'll
for
always
a hot minute.
Be, yeah.
Aragorn to me.
Exactly. I think we should all hold him in our heart as Aragorn.
He can never grow.
No, because my inner, I thought about this when you said like, when a loved one critiques our stuff, it doesn't hurt. And I'm like, were you raised in a healthy household?
No, not at all. No, but that's what I'm saying. You could have somebody you love in your life, but they are not good for your creativity. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I think, I had to think about this a lot with writing a whole book about creativity, but some people have their own issues around their own creativity and that makes them bad for your creativity. And they are not a bad person. It just brings out bad things in them to share creative work with them because of their own insecurities or their own, you know, aspirations they haven't gotten to. And then they unconsciously can be like really destructive or consciously. Some people are terrible people. But hopefully, you know, those people are people that we already know how to be careful with. It's the people who we love who we don't know how to be careful with around creativity. It's kind of like two different levels, I think.
Even as a child, I remember like my mom who's an English teacher who has a master's degree. Like, I would write an English paper for, like, junior high or whatever, and she would be like, oh, no, this is wrong. You have to rewrite this. And I would be like, no! Everything I write is perfect genius.
Well, that is a very male perspective.
And it's taken many failures in the intervening 20 years.
Wait, are you saying that your mom was right?
Yeah, she was 100% right. Oh. She was an English teacher with a master's degree.
Well,
she was like...
Yeah, but that doesn't qualify anything. Like, with creativity, it doesn't matter
She's a good teacher. She's smart. No, I'm saying, like, if I wrote a paper for school on, like, of mice and men, and I'm like, Lenny's an alien, and she's like, I don't think that's supported by the text. I'm like, no, he's an alien. I would do that a lot. I would bristle. I have a large ego.
Okay.
And I've had to fail many times for that ego to...
But that gets you far, I think. That's the white male thing going on for you. Like, you could just sell just your ego and your confidence and you play b-ball with other white men and you get hired on. You know what I'm saying? Like, women can't do that. A, if you're confident, you come across as arrogant and then men don't like that. And then women don't want to go play b-ball generally with a bunch of guys. And they won't invite her anyway if she wanted to.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, exactly. I won't get invited. I sweat too much, so
I don't want to go outside. Really, so exactly. Please pass on the b-ball.
Very fair, Felicia. Totally fine. Honey, you can't be out there.
Wait, is that how business is done here in Los Angeles?
It seems like to me.
It does feel like it's
so
social.
So I got to get into a basketball game.
Yeah, like a league.
Everybody I know is like, yeah, we're on a b-ball team together. We sold a show, and I'm like, I hate everything about what just came out of your mouth. Why am I even talking to you? So you're really thinking about this. You're really thinking about b-ball. I swear to God, I see it in your eye. You're thinking, how do I scam this? There's also a dodgeball team.
That I could do.
There's dodgeball. That was really hot for a hot second, like 5 years ago. Yeah. Everyone was in a dodgeball league. There's even a skee-ball league that I've heard about.
Well, now that I do.
That sounds fun,
that's
right?
That's indoors.
Yeah. It's indoors. Yeah.
Can I pitch something to you guys?
Yeah.
Now, senior year at field day, my team in Let It Bounce. We were the championship team, and we love Let It. Ooh, I sounded like Trump for a second there. We love.
Creepy.
And I made my fingers into okay signs.
Andy, please don't highlight it. Terrified.
Nobody could have seen that. You need to tell anybody about that.
I am a huge fan of Let It Bounce, which is basically volleyball on a tennis court. Now, is there any way that I could force the
that
Los
you
Angeles...
You can make a Let It Bounce league and get all the insiders in there and just sell some shows? I don't know. God bless you.
Oh,
just
a Let It Bounce
habit.
Movie? Dodgeball 2? Colon, Let It Bounce?
Let It Bounce? Listen, you just sold me, and I think that's how they make those movies. They don't even have anything but a title. You just make a picture of you playing it, Photoshop Will Ferrell's head on you, and then you sold a movie.
He's on this network.
Come on. Okay, there it is. Now that we've done our Hollywooding, Felicia, do you feel like you're in a good place to answer some listener relationship questions and maybe get into it a bit?
Sure. Should we talk about my book afterwards?
I mean, we could get more into the book.
Or we could do
I was
it later.
Like, I'm like, yeah, like, does it come up kind of in the questioning? Well, because I guess my question, kind of this, our foray, in, our segue into kind of getting into these questions. You know, you said when I was like, we're going to be answering some questions. You were like, I like to tell people what to do. I got my two
cents. Oh, for sure. I'm very armchair. I'm very good in an armchair.
Now, is that how then the book came to be? Because this new book is kind of like tips, like how to get your life creatively.
It is called Embrace Your Weird, Face Your Fears, and Unleash Creativity. And yes, it is how to be more creative. But, you know, in retrospect, actually, since I wrote it, I wrote a memoir, You're Never Weird on the Internet, Almost, and it was a best-selling book. My mom was really proud of it.
Get it.
A lot of people who came up to me after they read it, they said, I was inspired to create because of your story, and I got help for my anxiety or depression because of your story. Mm-hmm. And I was like, those are two good things in the world. Here I am trying to be like, how do I feature myself as an actor and in this town where people think my face is weird? And why don't I just do something more useful in the world? So I was like, well, let me write this book. So I was like, well, how, you know, I'm a self-help book expert.
Okay.
I read every single one. I would not be here unless I got a lot of boosts for like, you can do it. The aura is with you, you know. And I wanted to write one that people would universally be able to have fun with, have something whimsical and taking all the kind of very 80s spirituality out of a lot of them. So that's kind of why I did it. Also, in retrospect, I kind of wrote this book to put myself back together after having a child, because I think, especially as a woman, you have a child and the whole world just turns itself on its head.
Really?
The ultimate act of creation, some might say.
It's the ultimate act of creation that you'd think would be very valued. And unfortunately, it is not. On the outer perspective, you get turned upside down because of people's perception of you. And on the inner perspective, you are a different person, not only, you know, just physiologically, hormonally, but also, you know, just creatively. And so I kind of went on this journey, I realized, and if you, you know, the path of the book is like putting yourself together from scratch as a creator. What exactly are you? How do you overcome all these enemies? How do you learn how to be playful? Like all this journey is kind of teaching myself how to be a new person.
Yeah.
And so like, I'm not a completely different person, but I really did have to piece together who I am in a different way. And I kind of had to do the book to figure that out.
Okay.
So hopefully other people will just, or just like pick up a hobby because you read the book. I mean, really.
Did you find, where did you live before Los Angeles?
I lived in Austin, Texas, and I grew up all over the South. My dad was in the military, so.
So, because we found, we're East Coasters. I'm from Pennsylvania originally, and Naomi's from New York.
I know you're a New Yorker, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I lived in New York for like the last decade before we moved here in 2017. And we found it to be, this town has made us mentally ill. It's taken our whatever mental illnesses, whatever anxieties and neuroses and depressions we had already, and just inflated. Do you ever see Akira? You know, at the end of Akira, when the guy turns into the giant blob monster thing, that's what it's done.
Wow.
That's what Los Angeles has done to our various mental illnesses.
Los Angeles has done to you guys.
Yeah.
Because you've been here a couple years, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a really mentally unhealthy place. I got a new therapist like recently and I was like, oh, she pinned me. And she's like, this place is terrible, you know? It's bad for who you are. You're always comparing yourself to other people. And a lot of the stuff I'm talking about in my book is, you know, underneath it all, I'm just trying to say creativity is good for you. And whether you do that as a living or not, you need creativity in your life.
Yeah.
And if you want to pursue creativity in a professional way, you have to get yourself out of these mindsets where you're always comparing yourself to other people. You're always kind of down on yourself in a way. And you're never enough, because truly in Los Angeles, you are never enough. I guarantee you that Tom Cruise is thinking he's never enough. He's not enough. Yeah. Anybody you look at has been polished by groups of people. You know, they're just, and we're all being kind of exploited to not be who we are inside. We sort of morph ourselves outward. And I think social media does this as well to us, where we kind of have a shell of being that we've kind of defined for other people. And yet inside, what the hell is my point? Right?
Yeah.
So I had this really interesting analogy that came to mind recently, where social media in Hollywood is, I am sitting in a car and alone, and I've papered I've papered all the windows with pictures of myself where I look great, but inside I'm still lonely inside an empty car. And I'm like, I feel like that's Hollywood. And I think, especially writing the book kind of got me to the point where I'm like, I feel free to, if I wanted to, I could just move to a small town and just do theater and do my own thing. And I would be happy with that. And I would never have been able to say that before, because I could just look at all the famous people I know or famous I don't know. And I'm like, what did I do wrong? Was it this point in my life? What I did? Why instead of Z? And there are all these things where you second guess. And like, that's a big part of the book, of overcoming enemies to your creativity, and really underneath, overcoming enemies to yourself. So, I mean, that's why I wrote the book. And believe me, all these things plague me. I feel like I'm a little bit more stable now. But, you know, I'll always have like a flare of like, what are you doing? Why haven't you sold the show? You know, like all these terrible things. And it's like, you don't know anybody's journey.
Right.
If you're not inside in their shoes. And so it doesn't help you. Does it help me to look at Variety and be like, why?
Exactly.
What are all these people? I know that person. Yeah. What did I do wrong? Like, that does not make me want to go like, I need to tell a story that will change someone's life. None of that does any of that.
And by enemies, though, you mean sociopaths that are doing better than you here.
Yeah, for some reason.
Whose sociopathy allows them to exploit the market forces for their own
100%.
Betterment.
Or be on the right b-ball team.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
I have a random question. Not random. Obviously, I was listening, and so it does dovetail. What was there a part, like, you know, as you said, part of you, the way the world saw you differently once you had a kid, mm-hmm. and obviously you're feeling different too. Was there something you experienced, you know, when you were a new mom? I mean, how do you define new? Maybe still now. But was there a part of you that, like, you didn't expect to feel a certain way? You were surprised by either, like, a change in your perspective?
Yeah, or... I mean, I'm kind of built my whole career on consuming things and kind of like being a fan of things as well, mm-hmm. but also making my own content. And neither of those things, I had to leave my company because I couldn't understand how I could do all the things. It makes you cut off things. So say you're just like a multi-headed thing. You have to start cutting off heads, like an Etten or something. So nerdy. You have to cut off things in order to really narrow down, like, what can I do with my life? Because you have this growing, you know, even having Mabel in your life now, you're going to be like, I need to walk her. And that'll be like a little bit of your day that you need
to devote.
You have to be out in the sun. You have to devote, and you have to put somebody else first before yourself.
Yeah.
And so I think that was a complication, in that I'm like, I can't play 5 hours of video games a night. This is a drag. But also, I can't work on the weekends because I used to be a workaholic. And I'm like, I really, in order to be a good parent, in my opinion, mm-hmm. I need to carve out more of my time. And so that was a big adjustment. And also just cutting off things, different little projects I was doing. I was like, I can't do that anymore. It's a time drain. What is my goal here? And it makes you grow up in a little bit, in a sense. And yeah, that was hard on the inside. And mm-hmm. then the outside stuff is how people perceive you, especially men. If you say you had a kid, it's just like, oh, nega boner, just get out of here.
Really?
You know? So it is very much so, like, you kind of graduate because you're not as sexually appealing in their mind. I swear to God, it's all like, I think it's all subliminal. Mm-hmm, I don't know if actively people say that.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of like under gender things that we are kind of indoctrinated with. That once a woman becomes a mother, they become a different category of person to men.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. This isn't really part of the show. But
sure. No.
Are there a bunch of like weird freaks that get off on like motherhood though?
Yeah,
I mean,
they're not
sure.
Signing the checks.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
No,
it's just
I meant in the dating world.
Oh, I don't know. There's freaks for everything. Like, I'm on a shoe fetish website. Like a toe fetish website. Like
WikiFeet. Everyone's on that.
Yeah.
I'm on that.
You are?
I don't know. There's no pictures of my feet.
I was like, I had no idea.
I don't let pictures of my feet get on the internet, Naomi.
You don't show your feet in the house. Okay?
Really? Do you not like your feet? Do you not love your feet?
No, I don't.
But I don't like exposed.
But I don't like my body in general. So that's just an extension of the general body dysmorphia that I live under.
I think you have a fine body.
It's nice of you to say.
Well, I think we're going to take a quick break on Felicia's lovely compliment. I think you have a fine body. And come back and answer some relationship cues.
Yay!
Hey guys, it's Bobby Bones. I host the Bobby Bones Show, and I'm pretty much always sleepy because I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning. A couple hours later, I get all my friends together, and we get into a room, and we do a radio show. We share our lives, we tell our stories, we try to find as much good in the world as we possibly can, and we look through the news of the day that you'll care about. Also, your favorite country artists are always stopping by to hang out and share their lives and music too. So wake up with a bunch of my friends on Big 104.7 in Pittsburgh or wherever the road takes you on the iHeartRadio app.
And we're back. Were you jealous, Naomi, when Felicia complimented me?
No, absolutely not. I think you need to hear it from someone. Okay, I think you need to hear it. We got to get that dysmorphia. We got to break these cycles and bonds. I said, good. Tell him he's fine.
Because it is 3,000 degrees outside, and I refuse to take off my hoodie.
Is that because like, you want to cover your body up?
Yeah.
Why, is that like a deeper root thing that you just don't want to be seen?
Yeah, partly. I mean, there's this definitely... I talked to someone on my other podcast a while ago where I was talking about, like, we want, because we're weirdos and the person I was talking to was a weirdo, we want to dress normally. We want to just, like, fit into the background so we can be, so no one notices us being our weird selves. So mm-hmm. just, like, wearing normal clothes. So I just wear, like, band t-shirts and hoodies and jeans all the time, and so I can just fade into the background.
Yeah. Well, I feel like you should work on that.
Okay, so Felicia's already doling out advice, okay? Before we even get into it, you need to work on it.
Well, let me ask this. Were you always a weird, quote-unquote weird person?
Yes.
Like even back in Texas?
I was homeschooled, so I wasn't around other children until I went to college at 16. So I have no relation to anybody else's upbringing, so yes, I'm weird. But I was never shamed for being weird, so I'm like, I don't understand why you think I'm weird. I'm actually fine.
Yeah. So I don't, by the way, that was not me thinking you're weird.
No, I think weird is a compliment. Like, yeah. My book is called Embrace Your Weird. The things that you'd be shamed for in school or in wider society are the things that actually would get you ahead, especially as a creative person. Especially, you know, I meet a lot of young teen girls. And yes, if you don't conform in that kind of world, you're shamed, you're rejected, and you develop these, like, self-confidence issues and self-worth issues that are really problematic in life. And I'm just like, these are the actual things that will get you farther later. Just get out of this high school thing, you know? And so, like, there's subliminal things like that. I really do believe it's your superpower. Like, nobody ever bought a TV show or a book or a piece of art because it...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Dear listeners, Andy here doing the ad read again, and today we're talking about MeUndies. As the male half of couples therapy, I was asked to do this one because we're talking about boxers, which, and I hope I'm not breaking any confidences, Naomi does not wear. Now, if you're a podcast listener like me, you've heard plenty of ads for MeUndies, and frankly, I had always thought it's underwear. How special can it be? And then I tried them, and friends, it is like wearing magic. It is like wearing a dream. It is so soft, there is nothing earthly I can compare it to. I am embarrassed, absolutely embarrassed to say I'm middle-aged and just finding this out, but the material your underwear is made out of really does make a difference. I won't say where I usually get my boxers from, but for comparison, MeUndies are like wearing a cloud covered in angel's feathers, and the other ones I wear are like wearing a bear trap smothered in puke. MeUndies got style for everyone, from all black classics to fun expressive prints in sizes extra small to 4XL. And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that actually care for their workers. Also, I gotta point this out, there is a particular technology that the folks at MeUndies would like me to discuss. Now, you know Naomi is sex negative and I am sex neutral, so I didn't want to have to say what this technology is, so I asked friend of the show, friend in real life, Mort Burke, to say the phrase. So, okay, here it goes. For any listeners with penises and testicles, I can say medical words. You might be interested in MeUndies' sophisticated
contoured pouch and ball caddy.
What's that again, Mort? They're incredibly comfortable?
Contoured pouch and ball caddy.
Wonderful. Thanks, buddy.
Okay, soft underwear comes in all packages at MeUndies. So to get 20% off your first order plus free shipping, go to MeUndies.com/therapy. That's MeUndies.com/therapy for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
Can we take a minute and talk about Skims? Now, you know I'm a recent Skims convert, having tried their underwear in the last few months, and I am now living lifted, supported, changed. So I decided to keep trying new stuff. And let me tell you, Skims basics and foundations are where it's at. Yes, I recently got the Soft Smoothing Seamless t-shirt. And y'all, it is so comfortable. It's been the perfect layer for me. I'm rocking it under a cardigan or a sweater when I want to keep it fitted and fabulous and not look all bulky. I mean, y'all know I'm back to work. Hashtag blessings. And I'm definitely that girl who is always cold in the office, okay? I need my layers, but I'm still trying to look put together. And the Soft Smoothing Seamless shirt is helping me get it right. And I also got the boyfriend t-shirt in heather gray, and it is so friggin' soft and comfortable, and it's giving casual but intentional when I wear it with a pair of jeans. I'm feeling very good in it. So if you want to give these and other basics a try, shop the Skims t-shirt shop at skims.com. Now available in sizes extra, extra small through 4X. Thank you for the range, Skims. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know we sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey and select our show in the drop-down menu that follows. Again, that's skims.com. Go check out everything they've got and the new t-shirt shop.
Was just like 20 other things, right? Yeah. They only buy it because it's weird.
Yeah.
Weird or stands out. So yeah, these are the things that we need to bring out in our lives, and yet everything in society tells us to conform because basically we're easier to monetize that way.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this baby, my DSA is all about the, he agrees with you with all this.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
What is DSA, though? What is that?
Democratic Socialist America.
Oh, yeah. I feel like I am an honorary member. Like, I just don't want to join.
You can join. Yeah, it's only $65 a year.
I know. I have so many subscriptions.
Yeah. Wow. Yes. Okay. Woof.
Did I just open up a barrel of, like, we could do 17 tangents, but we really should get to whoever these people are who need advice.
And, of course, if any executive is listening and wants me to write the Andrew Lloyd Webber Extended Musical Universe, please get in touch.
Mabel walking across this damn table. I can't even right now.
She's a little out of control. I'm just kidding. She's just walking. She's very cute, though.
She's very cute. She's discovering new things. This is Bring Your Daughter to Work Day. We're doing our best.
Are you guys ready for the first?
She's going. She's going. She really wants to jump, though. She's going to jump.
I'm going to take her.
She's going to jump.
All right. You guys ready for the first advice question?
Let's do it.
Hi, Andy and Naomi. I love your show. It makes me laugh out loud, and people look at me like I'm crazy. But I wanted to ask, is it weird to still see people that look like your ex and just not want to date them? Somebody was chatting me up, and I just couldn't even look at them because they looked like my ex. Thanks. Bye.
Is it weird to reject future SOs, significant others, because they look like an ex?
How's that weird?
Embrace your weird.
No, I mean, yeah.
And like, if you think that's where I'm like, I'm on this person's side.
You're on this person's side?
Yeah, I'm like, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You know what I mean? Like, we all have kind of our triggers, and if there's a face that takes you back to a dark time, you got to avoid the face.
You reject romantic consonants?
I don't think you should theoretically make yourself have sex with anybody. Like, if you got to talk yourself into it, like, that's probably a bad call. I have a thing with smells. Like, if anybody wears Calvin Klein, I had a boyfriend in college who wore that Calvin Klein thing, and I just, a mere whiff of it makes me nauseated.
Wow.
So, like, if you're wearing that cologne, get away, right?
Right.
How scummy was this dude that it's that you've got this scummy. Kind of, like, Pavlovian?
Yeah.
What's the guy? The guy who smells the Madelines and takes him back
Proust?
To
Proust.
Proust, yeah. Proust. Thank you.
Yeah.
I don't know why I can remember every moment of...
We're really on the same page with French douchebag references. Truffaut.
If you don't read Proust and watch Truffaut, we cannot date, Felicia.
What do you think?
I'm trying to remember, like, if there is any... I think it would make me more inclined to date someone if they reminded me positively, I suppose. I'm trying to think of if there was ever any... I was never like the shitty person in a relationship, but I was definitely like the emotionally closed off person mm-hmm. in relationships. So I'm probably other people's like, I mean, oh God, this person looks too much like Andy. I'm not dating him.
That was a real bold statement though. You weren't the shitty one. If I pulled all your exes, like, and from your point of view, you weren't the shitty one. You, maybe you were shitty.
I don't think I was. I don't think I was like shitty. I just think I was like emotionally closed off. Okay, I don't think I was.
But in their estimation, that could be shitty.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, from your point of view, maybe.
Right. No. I just meant like I didn't like force anyone to like watch Truffaut or.
Okay, that makes sense. I mean, also, I think people tend to. I hate to say this, but I have a real radar eye for people dating people who look like them.
Yeah.
Like in a real aggressive manner, and you see them have a baby, and it's like, yeah, it looks like just like you guys. Yeah, because you're clones. You're basically like Game of Thrones in over here. You know, you're Lannister baby in it. Up, you know. But actually, this is biological. People tend to date people who are very similar to them, especially in, I think it's some kind of genetic thing.
Huh. Yeah. So, Andy, what do you think our excuse is? We just really wanted to mix up the genetic pot. Was that the plan?
Well, you're very close to a Jewish mother. You are. Wow. You do have elements without it being a direct. What? Without it being direct.
So, Naomi reminds you of your mother?
There are. Not
well, that's
really.
True. Wait, we both do like to play Spider Solitaire.
Spider Solitaire.
And we both like to watch Criminal Minds.
True crime.
Me and Norma Beckerman, we get into it.
You're basically the same person.
Yeah. But you don't look anything like each other.
That
so
matter.
I think there's
well,
like there's
got...
like similar personality things. So I get away with, Naomi and I can have an erotic romantic relationship without there being any kind of like weird mommy issues.
It's an erotic romantic relationship.
With regard to your, involving your mother.
No, but without there being any kind of weird mother issues.
I mean, you said it, when you came, it came out of your mouth, it got creepy.
Team Felicia.
Uh-oh.
Fully on this one. Fully.
Uh-oh.
No, but I see your point. Like, we all are, our mothers and fathers are the most important thing in our lives. If they're in our lives, right? And so we are going to gravitate either completely toward or completely against. Like, my brother dates women who are completely opposite my mother, and I don't know. I have no idea about me. I don't have enough reflection. I can reflect on other people's lives really well, guys. I don't think I was the asshole ever, but now that
I don't know. Maybe we should quiz them.
I know.
Maybe we should quiz all your former romantic partners and find out.
Okay, I'll come back and I'll be like, I was such a dick. I was the worst.
Oh, God, can you imagine someone being like, so I did a podcast that really made me think. I'd love to talk to you about how I impacted your life in the following ways. Just like an amends podcast.
Oh, my God, that'd be so bad.
Andy, give us the next one. Let's see what we got.
All right, this is a... This is a direct message to us from Instagram. It is anonymous.
Okay.
Hey, Naomi and Andy. Love your show and find it equal parts funny and thought stimulating.
Love
just
that you always
add
keep,
in the
I love that you
compliment.
Always keep the compliment.
Always keep the compliment.
So I've been wanting to ask for advice on getting back to dating post-divorce, but my ex, who I've been separated from, but not officially divorced yet for almost a year, just told me she wants to reconcile. We were together for 6 years. She's 28 and I'm 31 now. Married for 4. She left me because she wasn't satisfied with our relationship, felt we were a phase that she'd moved past, and wanted to see what else was out there. Last week, she confided that she still loves me, sees where she was last year as an immature and unhealthy place, and is willing to do pretty much anything to regain my love and trust. I very much moved on, am happy with where I am, have dated around, and never really expected to be in this position. I know I could love and trust her again. We're good together and really get each other. I also put a lot of stock in the significance of marriage, our 6 years together, and like the idea of love winning out. I'm a pretty hopeless romantic.
Yeah.
My main hesitation is that I'm not sure if we want the same things lifestyle-wise. That was a main reason for the separation. And definitely a fear of history repeating down the road. I know I'd regret not exploring this possibility, but I want to be careful knowing my desire for comfort and stability in relationships and how easy it would be for me to just jump back in with all forgiven and forgotten. Any advice you'd give me on exploring this in a healthy way or if it's even a good idea? I'm about 50-50 right now.
All right.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was a lot of conflicting information in there.
There's
he's moved on, then he likes it, then he's talking himself into it. Like,
ooh, yeah. Because I understand it. I get that there's competing desire to also find the stability and for the kind of like cultural romantic notion of love winning out.
That's a cerebral note. You should never go back for a cerebral notion.
Yeah,
I feel like in my life, I feel like the one thing I've learned is the things I regret most are the things where I talk myself into something because it was a quote unquote good idea. And yet my gut was saying, no.
Yeah. Yeah. For real. For real. I mean, it was just funny because Felicia, you like instantly had a reaction on your face. You know what
Did
I mean?
I really?
Like, well, not in a bad way, but where it's just like, it's like as soon as that person was like, I feel I've moved on and didn't think I would be in this situation.
Yeah.
It was like, look where you're like, okay. Like, you know,
yeah.
Like,
I mean, but that's so definite. It's so definite. And then he goes to talk himself back into it. And I'm just like, what is the initial instinct?
I think, well, that's the thing to me. It sounds like, for instance, it sounds like she the one who's like, I want to get back together. She had the moment of like, it's hard to be single. It's hard to change if you're with
people
somebody.
People are generally
right.
terrible,
right? And now she's like, "Oh no, I don't know if I like, can we be? Can I be in the safety and security of this person I spent 6 years with?"
Yeah.
Whereas this other person is sounding like it's like, "Well, I've already kind of started to make a new life for myself."
Yeah. It feels well. Also, it's like a trust issue. Like, and also, there's a power dynamic there because there's it's kind of appealing to go back into a relationship where you have more power since you wronged me.
Yeah.
And then that's really unhelpful.
That's a terrible dynamic.
Right? I feel like there's the possibility of that entering because you can really be like, well, you're always feeling safe. Therefore, you might have kind of toxic behavior toward this person. So I think you need to, I mean, personally, I think they need to go to couples therapy for a while and have kind of a third party person to be like, can you have the groundwork for something healthy going forward? Because it looks like you could get back together, but will it be healthy?
It sounds like that's what they wanted us to do for them.
Like, there was a free therapy?
Yeah, they're like, we can't do a copay. Just tell me what to do, strangers. Like, well, here are my 2 cents. Our 6 cents each.
Felicia, I had a question for you. Were you always an emotionally aware person?
No.
Okay.
Because
the idea of like cerebral stuff, it's only recently that I've learned to trust my gut, to hear my gut. Right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And when I listen to it, I'm like, oh, right, this is the right thing to do almost all the time.
But we're not in touch with it often.
Yeah. I haven't been. Only since therapy, really, in the last, like, 5 years or so.
Well, we need help. I mean, a lot of people don't have that when they grow up, like, especially with my, you know, with my child. I've looked at a lot of, like, parenting things, and a lot of it is, like, don't deny your feelings. Honor your feelings, even if there's something I don't, as an adult, feel uncomfortable with, or you're doing something I don't like.
Yeah.
Like, you still have to have unconditional love, and I think people are not taught to parent children with unconditional love and accepting all their emotions, and therefore we all grew up kind of stunted, weird, like, bonsai trees that are just twisted in the terrible wind. And I don't think generally that parents deliberately do that, but the way they are taught, it's like, one time I tweeted, like, I don't think you should, I mean, why, it's not allowed for me to slap you because I don't like what you're doing. Why can we do that to a child? And people got so upset. And a lot of the times it was men defending their mothers. You're telling my mom's bad because she beat me?
God.
And I'm like, no, not at all. She was told that this is the way you should parent. It doesn't mean we should keep doing the thing that people tell us is the right thing. That is my opinion. But it was really interesting to have the backlash of people's opinions on that. And it's like we get entrenched in the idea of doing something a certain way where we're not in touch with our gut. So our gut won't allow us to be like, there is another path here.
Right.
And I think through creativity... Creativity is just like really knowing yourself well, right? Mm-hmm. To be creative is just like, I know what I have to say in this world. I have opinions that are only my own and not what people tell me. So being creative gets you in touch with that sort of like inner core that can lead you to better decisions in relationships or in life or with making things. So I don't know. No, I was not stable before this. I was a neurotic basket case who was seeking gratification. And it's really just recently and through, I mean, I'm honestly writing this book really helped me be a lot more stable and self-assured outside of other people's opinions. And I think, you know, that helps, I guess. Maybe I'll just become a crazy woman in the woods soon. I don't know. It might be fine too.
Do you find that more appealing just because you've lived here so long?
You hate, like, LA, don't you?
He really keeps finding a way to bring it into every conversation. And even I've hit a wall.
But what is it about LA that you don't like? It's not giving you what you think you deserve? Or is it the atmosphere of LA? Is it the lack of community? What is it that you don't like?
The energy. I like New York. I like the anxious, neurotic. I don't like laid back places. That's really it. There's not much more.
Well, that makes sense.
It's fine. Everything else is fine here.
I would never be able to live on the East Coast because that's sort of like, there is a cultural thing on the East Coast where I don't feel comfortable. Like, I'm from the South. I'm from the West. You know, like, I'm pretty laissez-faire. Like, there's an intensity that I could feel that in your vibe.
You can feel the intensity and it's fine.
And it's great. It's just a lot. It's a lot. It's a good thing. But it's also, you're right. It's like living and being fueled as a creator and a person. You know, if that doesn't mesh with you, maybe you should move. You got to move?
Hey, creatively.
No, Naomi's we like, just no, got we're
dog.
Moving
We
here.
Just got a dog and a car. We are here now.
Creatively, I'm
so sorry, Naomi.
I'm great creatively. Yeah. It's more of the other kinds of things.
Can you have like a New York expat sort of group that you could try? I feel like that could be fun.
No, I don't know if he needs to get together with people and complain. Because quite honestly, we do enough of that in the house together. And then I'm like,
oh my God, I'm sorry. I'm like creating problems with your relationship?
No, absolutely not. You're doing great, but we will need to take a break.
All right. I stop around the house screaming, why can't I ride the A train now?
Okay, we'll be right back.
Hey, young world, the world is yours. It is I, OCT, the producer of the Baller Alert Show podcast, featuring none other than myself
and the kid Ferrari Simmons
with your favorite Ethiopian Sue Solo.
Alert Show podcast is here for you, keeping you in the know with the latest of your favorite celebrities, current events, and providing free games to the listeners in need.
So join the talk of the town because it's going down.
It's the Baller Alert Show podcast, baby.
Don't you ever forget.
We not only cover the latest in entertainment,
but we're bringing you the entertainment directly from the source.
That's right. We have celebrity guest hosts, exclusive interviews,
and it all goes down on the Baller Alert Show podcast. We are your number one source for the culture.
So like DJ Khaled says, don't ever play yourself. Join the conversation today.
Head on over to the Ball Alert Show and join me, Ferrari Simmons.
Join me, Sue Solo.
And it's all produced by me, OCT, on the Ball Alert Show podcast.
Available on iHeartRadio app,
on Apple Podcasts,
or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Hopefully Andy has settled down, but you know what? We can't be sure. We can't be sure. The man is on edge.
I don't like how I'm being painted.
I do hope that the person who asked that previous question, it feels like, you know, just really quickly, in case we weren't clear, because we have a lot of thoughts. If you are no longer desiring the relationship and instead missing the shared history or some of that.
Or like the cerebral idea of love winning out romance.
Right. That is not why you stay in a relationship or go back to one. If you are concerned that your lifestyles are not on the same page, like ultimately what you want, then that's your answer right there. So perhaps with a little more separation, when she feels a little less piney for you, there can be a friendship that allows you to keep some of the good stuff. But this is not the, this doesn't sound...
Doesn't sound like you want this woman to be the you want to create a family with this person long term, right? Like that would be the next. They're almost 30, right? They said so. Like in 5 years, you'd see this person as the person you'd create a family with. I don't know, or not, or not. just hanging out with.
I get it though. It took a long time. I think I said this on a previous episode though. I used to be like a completist. I used to have to read a magazine from front cover to back cover, even articles I didn't like. Because I'm like, I have to finish this. I have to read a book. If I start a book, even if I don't like the book after like two chapters, I have to keep reading it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing for relationships.
But why
or
do you
friendships.
Do that? Because I used to finish books only out of guilt. And I'm like, who am I guilting?
Yeah.
The author's not watching. Why do I feel guilty about this book? I'm throwing it out, man. No. You can't have my life.
Yeah. I think guilt. I think also like desire to deny change. And through that, deny mortality, if we want to get real deep.
Okay.
but what I'm trying to say you had to, like, if I had a friendship, the analog of that, a friendship had to last forever. I couldn't just, like if a friendship just naturally kind of ended, I couldn't just let it go. And then I'm like, no, it's okay. You can have friendships or relationships that are only a part of your life.
You can have a phase. You can have a moment where you become something different. We have to let go of who we are in this life to grow, right? If you cling to who you are at 18, you're going to be that sad person who never got over high school, right? There's a lot of them out there.
True.
But then you're just wasting the opportunity to see what you could be.
Yeah.
In a way.
Yeah, don't keep going back to tailgate your high school volleyball games.
Naomi, I feel like I know so much about him, and yet I don't get, you're just an inscrutable glass of beautiful, like, rich wine that's just like, I'm too complex for this.
I have, like, never been told that, because every feeling I feel, I say out loud and usually into some microphone. So I'm like, that's huge for me. This is a beautiful day to be considered inscrutable. No, I am, but it's funny because, like, I do, I'm always anxious, and that's kind of my low-level plane of existence. And I'm also, like, dealing with this new creature in my life, my Miss Mabel, and just, like, it's so funny how I realize for me to care about something is to immediately worry about it.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, the way my care, it immediately transfers. It doesn't necessarily transfer into the excitement of what can be.
Yeah.
It is immediately, something must be wrong. Why does she keep scratching her butt for, like, 20 minutes at a time? Is everything going wrong? Do you know what I mean? Like, I automatically go there, and just, I've just been thinking about that, because a lot for me is very much like, why can't I relax and experience some of the fun of it? Because your book, because I remember everybody, Felicia and I met at Comic-Con, my first Comic-Con, I was out of my mind. I couldn't believe I was on a panel with Queen Felicia. Aww. And I was like, but it was, you mentioned your book title where I was like, oh yeah, like letting go of fears. I need that.
I feel like you admit, you read, like, that. I have a lot on anxiety there. But you know that recently I realized why I'm literally was the most neurotic person, and I'm not particularly functional now, but I realized it's because of my mother. Like, my mother, ever since I had a baby, like, I mean, it drove me crazy because I was worrying all the time. And I was like, I can't live like this. Mm-hmm. But, like, every single time I text her a picture of her, like, at the beach, she's like, the undertow's pretty strong there. I mean, like, she's like, by a storm drain, she's going to get swept away. I'm like, she's in the yard. Like, and I realized, like, I must have been raised in an environment where literally only disaster. Why would I not be constantly afraid, right?
Right, right.
And so, yeah, there's a lot of stuff there that, as I've kind of, like, looked back to the roots of the problems that I have. We're not organically a basket case, I don't think, mostly.
Yeah.
So these are all just self-imposed things that we generally, it stems in, from childhood, you know? Yeah. Like all these things where you're like, oh, that was why I'm really traumatized about swimming, you know? I
the
hate
undertow.
The pool.
The
exactly. The undertow is going to sweep me away. It's a monster. It has the face of a demon. You know? That's the beach for me. Invite me to a bonfire? I'd rather, you know.
Right, right.
Nothing fully, else is. Fully. Yeah, so anyway.
Any of those mother things resonate with you, Naomi?
Oh, yes. The nervousness, definitely. It's funny. Does this fit here? No, I'll tell you anyway. Literally talking to my mother recently, and she was just like, so how are things going? You know, how's your job? You know, she's asking me about stuff, and she's always like, why does this take so long? Which is, like, literally what I say to myself every day. I don't need you to say it. But so, you know, she's trying to understand, you know, like, why does it take so long for things to happen here and get off the ground?
Deals to close.
Right? Yeah.
Like that kind of stuff. And, you know, I don't really have much of an explanation. And then she was like, do you like your job or whatever? And I was like, yeah, you know, like, I made the choice. I'm all in. You know, and she was like, well, that's good because, you know, you've always seemed a little weak to me. And, you know, I just worry about you.
Wow. That's so, that's a lot.
And it was like, literally, like, that is like one of the chiller conversations. Like, that's not even
that's
the
so true.
Do not show your mother any of your creativity.
No.
Oh, yeah, but you learn kind of, like, to be able to guard yourself, and yet your mother is your most powerful voice in your in your life, right? And
still,
so
right, like,
it goes
in
right
your
to your heart, right to your head, right to your heart, like, sears, dart to the, you know.
Well, because, like, I am very delicate, so then I'll be like, maybe she's right.
Oh, no.
Do you know what I mean?
So
you, like, feel it. And so it's just been interesting, like, you know, knowing that and being in a moment where you're, and, like, obviously this is, like, where my relationship with Andy can help, because, of course, I hear this. And it's kind of like, okay. And then later I tell him, and he was, oh, that wasn't right.
Yeah.
Because I almost need to be reminded that that was a fucked up thing to say.
Yeah. But, the thing that's helped me a lot is to see what is causing her to say that thing to me. And it's underneath, it's a sad, either sadness or loneliness or a power thing.
Yeah.
Or, like, there's something going on inside her. And once you start to see your parents in a human light, mm-hmm. you can actually – they loosen your grip on you because you can see them as flawed as you are, right?
Yeah.
And so when my mom – starts doing this, not when she did to me, I was very much like, oh my God, she's, you know, she can get under my skin like that. But when I have a baby, I'm like, don't, no, you back off from my baby. And I'm so I can protect my baby more than I protected myself my whole life. And then I could see kind of the inner workings of why she's so anxious. There are a lot of, you know, history or whatever. And then I could see her as like, well, you know, this is just kind of triggering something. Sharing this with her is triggering something in her that's making her a bad person. I know underneath she doesn't want to be a bad person. So I'm just going to have to be more careful about what how I am vulnerable with her.
Well, that's the tricky thing. I think so much of relationships, and I think I've also just realized the extent to which how that relationship has informed how I handle all relationships.
Oh, wow.
And that I withhold from people so they don't really have anything to kind of get mad about or dislike in me. Like, I don't like confrontation because I'm convinced, like, we'll fight once and then never speak again.
Yeah.
Like, even now as an adult where I think by now we've all kind of evolved, because certainly in high school, you would have a fight with a girl and then you never talk again. You know what I mean? Yeah. But now, I'm like, okay, we're past that, and yet I still have that thinking around stuff like that. And so, and like realizing, like, oh, that's because of this. And also looking back on like all the dating and stuff and previous relationships where I'm like, oh, good Lord, I wanted this boy to be my mama. Well, no wonder it didn't work out. I wanted him to be my mama. He wanted to put his dick in me. We weren't on the same page.
Wow. I think that's what a lot of guys go through, especially when they find a partner and they're looking for and so basically during those like great times, they're kind of looking for their mom to take care of them. They're looking for that unconditional acceptance they probably didn't get from their mom, right? And then once you become a mother, that's when guys are like, hey, where am I in this? Well, I'm sorry, I can't be your mom. I can't be your freaking mama right now, all right? I have a child who's about to throw themselves off a balcony. Like, I'm sorry, you're not my number one priority anymore. And so they have that loss of like, you know, so there's all these levels of going on.
Oh, my God.
It's really complicated as we go through life. So, I don't know, everyone's screwed up and we're all just in it together.
And it's amazing we're all still here. Do you know what I mean?
It's
like
true.
It's like we're all we're three neurotic people right now maintaining a conversation.
We're really functional.
Honestly, this is the work. This is the work.
What was your child doing unsupervised on a balcony?
She was not on a balcony. She was on a beach and then in on a curb slightly near a storm drain. Which, by the way, didn't know this, but sudden storms can sweep a child away.
Like, oh my God.
Yes.
Sudden storms can sweep a child
away. We're in Southern California.
Andy, do we have one more question?
Yeah, let's do one more. We can end on a light note. But Naomi, does this spark any maternal feelings? I'm holding Mabel like a baby in my lap.
It's literally all I ever wanted, a dog that would let me cradle it. Unending.
She's super cute right now.
She's just like very agreeable and it's just like, just pay attention to me.
The and look like... of adoration is nothing like a baby. A baby would just be pooping right now.
See, that's why I think it might be just dogs and cats for me.
It's fine.
I think this is a light one. Let's hear.
Naomi, Andy, Felicia Day. Hi, I'm calling. I should probably say my name is Joe John. I'm calling regarding conflicting schedules and wanting to watch TV shows that you just want to watch. I'm behind on like 40 different shows, and I'm waiting and waiting for my partner to be available to watch them as well. And I kind of get tired of waiting, and I don't know if that's me being unreasonable, but I'm like, what solutions do you have for that? And just navigating those tricky waters of, oh, I wanted to watch that too. Thanks in advance. Love y'all. Bye.
Wow. First of all, I loved him.
Joe John is the best.
Joe John, love it. Love your name. Love everything about you. That is a complicated question because we are literally saturated with so much stuff. It's like a tidal wave of just crap in your face every day. Important crap.
Much like being a mother.
It is. Well, if you listen, I love how my friend, now I'm not putting you guys down, but my best friend and business partner got a dog. And I guess the dog for the first 3 weeks was whimpering a lot. And he's like, I'm so exhausted. I know exactly how you feel. And I'm like, bitch.
Oh, no. I do that as a joke.
I was like,
he was like, this is Parenthood.
Yeah, you can lock the dog in and binge Game of Thrones, all right? That is.
Yeah, no.
Right,
no.
No one's calling ACS on you if you just close the dog
in the door into the bathroom.
Wow,
what kind of advice do we have this for Joe John?
I mean, do you ever have to deal with, do you have that? I mean, because I do think, honestly, it sounds like a light question, but I also really get it because I feel like there are definitely times you and I, Andy, where like our TV shows are the thing we do together. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like the thing we watch. But then of course, if our schedules don't line up or we can't, like, why? I mean, like, there have been times like, or if I'm traveling, like when I'm away, I'm always like, should I maybe sneak it on the hotel TV? And then maybe he won't know that I watched it. And then when we watch it later, I can pretend to be surprised at everything.
I mean, it's hard. And there's so much out there. And if it's 40 shows, like I feel like they are not. I mean, it's so, I get maybe 1-2 hours of TV.
Right.
3 days a week.
Yeah.
So like
yeah.
there's no, I mean, I have to be completely ruthless. And my partner likes to watch TV. And I'm just like, God bless. Just go. And at a certain point, they'll be like, hey, do you really want to watch that? I'd be like, just go.
You're right.
Just go. Run with it. Take that baton and run. Run, Gotham. Run. Run, Pennyworth. Just run. Just run with it. So if I were you, Joe John, I would like really sit down and be like, okay, I really want to watch this show. This next week, I really want to watch it. Can I just watch it without you? And just do the list of prioritizing and just be like, what's a one for you?
Yes.
What's a two and what's a three? Okay, I'm just going to start in on the threes, okay?
That's a good call. Because, see, I was going to even say, I'm like, you guys just only have to pick three shows. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
you got
together.
This many, right, together. And be like, these are our together shows. These
That's
are the shows
idea.
We're watching together. Mm-hmm. Feels good for us. And the rest of them are just like things we both like are watching. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
We're just sitting side by side and staring.
100%.
But then there's shows where you like want someone to talk to and want to be able to unpack and all that. Those might be the ones. And everything else, you're going to have to watch it.
And what is the other person doing? Are they working? Do they have hobbies? What is your hobbies, Joe? I mean, like, can you get a hobby? Rather than, like, can you take one day a week and do something just creative for yourself?
Oh, no. I think there's creativity. Joe John's also an artist. Speaking of your book.
Really?
Yeah. A painter, drawer.
But I'm like, maybe you could, like, fill your... If the other person is filling their time with, like, extracurricular stuff or, like, work, like, is there something that you could be doing outside of the TV thing that could be, like, kind of fun for you?
Even with outside the TV, just think about all the content we have to consume to be up on culture.
This podcast right now.
It's peak TV, baby.
It's peak podcast. Peak.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
Peak podcast.
Ever since Conan O'Brien invented podcasts 6 months ago.
How dare that person.
It is now peak podcast.
I did the same thing with web series. I mean, like,
you invented that.
There's a, no, but kind of, but there's a new service called Quibi coming out,
yeah.
And like the interviews are like, we're just really revolutionizing 10-minute serialized installments. This is a new way of watching. I'm like, really? Can I have a meeting? Because I could talk to you about this. Yeah, I feel like, I think you're like three, just picking three or grading them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I also like, yeah, you've got to also triage. You're right, being like, okay, what are our top? I do like the idea, like, okay, if you're not as into this show,
yeah.
Then I'm going to go watch it.
You've done that before, Naomi.
Oh, definitely.
You also will give up on a show about three quarters in.
I do too. I will give up like 2-3 episodes in. I'm like, God bless, just go.
Yes, girl. As you said, you got to cut the fat.
Life is precious. We are dying as we speak.
Yeah.
My cells are degenerating. Why am I spending any minute on something I don't want
to
do?
All my energy has to go to my mitochondria. Not my eyes for viewing Legends of Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Are we giving? Do you give up all the DC shows?
So
you said Pennyworth and Gotham.
Yeah. Like Legends.
Arrow. Flash.
Yeah, Flash. I used to watch
a
lot of them. You know, some of them I'm like, I won't be on that show. Hey, forget it.
I'll be honest. Legends of Tomorrow, pretty great.
I know. I watched that for a while. My friend Brandon is on that, but he's not going to be on it anymore, I guess. Spoiler alert.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. Are you upset?
Oh, my God, Hollywood.
It was in the trades, Naomi.
Did I just spoil something for you?
No. I'll be fine. I'm a Flash, and now I'm kind of into Arrow, but I have a complicated relationship with Arrow.
It's,
like, I'm watching it being like, do I like it? But I can't stop watching it.
I was like that with Gotham. I was like that with Gotham for a while. And then they did that weird thing with Poison Ivy, and I was like, I'm out. So weird. Okay, so grade your shows.
Yeah, grade your shows. Watch all the DC shows.
Also, invest in yourself as a creator. I'm going to put that out there, because if you could take one night a week and just do something that only you can do, you're going to be super self-righteous. You're going to feel like, well, we didn't watch TV, but I made a hat from felt
from scratch.
Or why not write some fanfic of whatever show...
What you think Gotham? The episode is that you've missed.
Some why not
erotic
a Gotham
fanfic that you read aloud as foreplay to your partner who can't make the time or television.
What about, Slashfic, Ryan from the OC hooking up with his character in Gotham.
Oh, yeah, wow. Yeah, I know you're talking about. Right.
Yes.
What's his name? Yeah.
Yes, I know. I can't remember his name right now. Yeah, I could see his face. He's a great actor.
Yep.
Gary Oldman.
Well, first, wasn't he underage in OC? So that would be illegal.
But
so.
He was
definitely 18.
He became 18.
Okay, so
at some
of
point.
Age, OC Brian, making out with the guy from Gotham.
Or just
himself?
Like an OC. Look, I'm into extended universes here, all right? We got the Andrew Lloyd Webber extended musical universe.
My God.
We've got the OC Gotham, everything connected through Ryan. I forget the name of the actor. Junebug, you throw in Junebug there.
Was he in that? Zuba?
He wasn't Junebug.
All right, Ben McKenzie.
Ben McKenzie.
We got there.
He's married to Morena Baccarat. So yes, I know. Yes,
this is
Ben
the power.
McKenzie extended universe.
This is the power of pushing through. Okay, when you phase a creative block, you just keep talking through it till you get to Ben McKenzie.
Keep it.
Felicia, thank you so much.
Thanks a lot. It was fun
so
to be
good.
Here.
And I cannot wait for your book to come out. Everyone, you will pick it up. And you will get your life right.
Yes, go to FeliciaDayBook.com, and I will be on a book tour too, so you can come and see me in person somewhere in this nation in early October.
Ooh, mock your cows. Go to that website. All right.
Yeah, thanks again. It was genuinely a delight.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
The 27 Club is a podcast about famous musicians who died prematurely and sometimes mysteriously at the age of 27. This podcast is hosted by me, Jake Brennan, creator and host of the award-winning music and true crime podcast, Disgraceland. Season 2 of The 27 Club launches June 18th, 2020, with 12 episodes on the life and death of Jim Morrison of The Doors. The 27 Club contains adult content and explicit language. You can listen to The 27 Club on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Kimberly Drew. If I've learned anything in my years of studying and uplifting Black artists, it's that we all have the power to create something beautiful. That's why I'm pleased to introduce you to people who have broken down boundaries in fencing and helped to create the first ever smart store. They're a big deal. And it's time we give them our attention. Listen to Your Attention, Please, a Hulu podcast with iHeartRadio on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. It's inspired by Your Attention, Please, now streaming on Hulu. Watch for a fresh point of view on Black history.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.